of you in the congregation this morning. We feel like you're right where the Lord intended for you to be this morning. We're thankful for that gift. We acknowledge many times that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above. And it's been a good gift to be in Union Church. I mentioned this morning as I thought about it, I got up and came this way and stopped down at the cemetery for a few minutes this morning. Today would have been Brother Melvin's birthday, December 8th, 1923. Served this church so faithfully and passed away on December 5th, 2002. What a blessing he was to so many of us. And, we trust, you know, I asked for 450 this morning. That was one of Uncle Melvin's favorite songs. And sometimes I can feel myself embraced in that second verse. It says, "Oft I'm tossed about and driven by the foe, sad within and sad without, wherever I may go." And the truth that anywhere is home if Christ our Lord is there. As we enter the Christmas season, we begin to focus our attention more than at other times upon the virgin birth of the Son of God and its importance, its significance to all of us individually and collectively. Brother Hunter prayed this morning that one day we'll be with him forever. We'll stand in his presence. And we started with a song this morning that came from a verse that David mentioned in Scripture. When I shall awake with thy likeness, I shall be satisfied. Now this morning we want to talk to you a little bit about the birth of Jesus Christ. And you know, there are basically two trains of thought and as far as how you believe this world came into existence. Some people will tell you about a Big Bang theory. Some of the scientists in the world will tell you this thing just exploded and things evolved over time. And you know, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But, you know, the reverse side of it, the law... The belief that we have is almost as unbelievable that God spoke this world into existence and that His Son came, born of a virgin, and was on the shores of time for about 33 and a half years and then ascended to the Father, having completed the work that His Father sent Him to do. Just amazing to me to consider these things. Let me read something in Scripture to you this morning, beginning at In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby you shall be called the Lord our righteousness." I've heard an elder say one time that basically the Old Testament is Jesus Christ concealed. The New Testament is Jesus Christ revealed. I love all the things in the Old Testament that point toward the coming of the Son of God. There's an old hymn, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." It is through Him that we live and move and have our very being. You'll find many verses in the Old Testament that point toward the day when the Lord would come to the earth in a manifest sense. In John chapter 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we beheld His glory, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh," as I mentioned, and came and dwell among us. "And we beheld His glory, full of grace and truth." In the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse 1, in Hosea 11 and 1, he says, when Israel was a child, I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. What does that mean? We'll look at that a little bit further as the Lord being our helper this morning. But think about that. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Israel is symbolic of the redeemed family of God. Those that He shed His precious blood for at Calvary's cross. And it says that my son, I called my son out of Egypt. We'll look at that a little bit more in just a few minutes, the Lord being our helper. In Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 17, where Moses writes there that I will see him, but not now. I will behold him, but not nigh. For there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Friends, he's all pointing toward the birth of the Son of God. And it's amazing to me how the Lord revealed these things unto these prophets. 600 to 700 years before it happened, they were prophesying these things to come to pass. The ones we hear quite often at Christmas time involve the book of Isaiah and what Isaiah the prophet wrote unto us. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he gives us specific information about a virgin conceiving and bringing forth a son, which shall be called Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We hear this all the time at Christmas. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. For unto us a son is born. A child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, he tells us that out of Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be the least, a little among the thousands of Judah, shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel, whose beginnings have been from of old unto everlasting. It's hard for us to even conceive of what he's talking about there. But other than the fact that the Lord came to us in a very humble manner, he didn't come as a king. Though he was born king of the Jews, you know from reading God's word that he didn't come as a king. He came lowly, and that's the way he lived. You know, in one place in Scripture, he said, you know, that we know that they didn't have room for him in the inn. But he said in one place in Scripture, said the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. It's amazing how humble he was, and being perfection, the flesh, like I said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're talking about God's Son. We're talking about Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. It came and dwelt among us. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, it says that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Let me turn and get that 11th verse as well. I should be able to quote it, but in Genesis chapter 49, bear with me as I turn there, verse 10 and verse 11. I read verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washes garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. That's prophesying not only toward the birth of the Son of God, but also when he went to Calvary's cross. The Bible says in the Old Testament that he tried the winepress alone. And in the New Testament it says that when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. These things in the Old Testament are pointing toward the birth of the Son of God. And once we get into the beginning of the New Testament, particularly in the Gospels, in Matthew and Luke, we begin to read more information about this coming of the Son of God and its significance to the world. But I want to read to you from John chapter 6 for just a minute. In John chapter 6, beginning in about let's begin in verse 31. Let me go back to verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign shewest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he shall give them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never perish. He said, I am the bread of life. That's what he tells us in John chapter 6. And I tell you a few moments ago that Micah prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judah, the least, or one of the little of the thousands of Judah. He was going to be born kind of down in the low rent district, if you will. Because he came in all humility before the Lord's people. But Bethlehem means the house of bread. It means the house of bread. And here he tells us he's the bread of life. So you see how these things from the Old Testament and the New Testament begin to come together. And it's amazing to me. We think about if you read this book, Brother Hunter prayed this morning about not only how I would have a liberty to read and study daily, but I trust he'll grant you liberty to commit yourself to studying God's Word. We've been told to study this. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But in Scripture, we only get bits and pieces of Jesus Christ when he was on earth. We have some things in Scripture from about the time of, from conception to about the age of two. We have one passage of Scripture at the end of Luke chapter 2, about the last 10 or 12 verses there. Talk about an account when he was 12 years old, what happened. And then most of what we find in Scripture is from age 30 to age 33 and a half when he went to the cross of Calvary. What about the times in between? What about from age 2 to 12? What did he do? What about from 12 to 30? What did he do? The Bible says he went around doing good. And although we don't have it recorded for us in Scripture, I'm sure, you know, the Bible tells us that if everything that the Lord did while he was on the earth in 33 and a half years was put in print, the volumes of this world would not be able to contain it. Amazing what he did. You know, when he was 12 years old, I love that story. A Christmas tradition in our house, I can't tell you how many times we watched that silly Home Alone and Home Alone 2. Many times. I mean, you're sniggering and shaking your head and smiling. You know what I'm talking about. I watch it over and over and over again. How they left old Kevin at home, you know. And they didn't go to New York one time, and they went to France or somewhere. I don't remember exactly. I should know. Brooks is laughing, so I must be giving the wrong information there. But regardless, Florida, wherever they went. But one time he stayed home, and one time he went to a different city from them. I know that. But when Jesus Christ was 12 years old, it was the time of the Passover, and his family went into Jerusalem to observe it. And when the feast was over, the Bible says they went a day's journey, supposing him, talking about their son Jesus Christ, to have been in their presence, supposing that he was with some of the kinsfolks or the family. They thought he was with them, but they went a day's journey, and he wasn't there. So what do you think they did? You know what they did. They turned around and went back to Jerusalem. Day's journey, another day's journey. I thought about Brother Bray Neazel a lot this week. Brother James mentioned here Wednesday night about him going through the crucible. 54 hours, I believe, and I think they could have maybe 6 hours of sleep the whole time, perhaps. 45 miles ahead of journey, different obstacles, different challenges along the way. I can only imagine how it pushed this dear brother to his limits. That's the intent of the United States Marine Corps, to push you to beyond your limits. And I prayed for Brother Braden this week that the Lord would protect him. They go on a journey. They came back, and they were 3 days looking for him. 3 days. Go read this at the end of the book of Luke in chapter 2, the very last, 41 through 50, I think it is. You go read this account, and it helps me as a parent sometimes when I feel inadequate or I feel like a failure. I thought of even Mary and Joseph were a failure of sorts. And they had, I've said this before, you know, that they didn't have cars back then, but can you imagine the bumper sticker on their car if they'd had one? sometimes I don't ever put one on my car, but I could have, I guess, if they'd had them. My child is an honor roll student at Bogachita School. You know, you've seen those before when you ride around town. But they could have put on there if my son can walk on water. But he was gone 3 days without, they didn't find him. And when they did find him, he was in the temple. He was there with the doctors of the law at that time. The Bible says he was listening to them, and also he was asking them questions, and they were asking him questions and were astonished at his answers. And his parents asked him, said, son, why did you do this to us, that we've been sorrowing all this time? I can only imagine how they must have felt during this time. You think about your 12-year-old child, if you don't know where they are, how excruciating that must be. When they found him, he was in the temple. He wasn't down at the pool of Bethesda skipping rocks with the other 12-year-old kids. He was in the temple discussing the things of God. And the Bible says that those men who had studied the law and understood a lot about Scripture were astonished at his answers. Can you imagine? But his parents asked him, said, "Why have you done this to us? We've been sorrowing all this time." And remember his response to them? "Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business." And the Bible says they didn't fully understand that comment. But if you think about that this morning, that's why he came to earth. In John chapter 6, I told you, he said he came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And my Father's will is this: all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now, let's go back a little bit into Scripture, into the New Testament, and talk about the birth of the Son of God. We sang a little bit this morning. A couple of songs we sang were related to these accounts in Scripture. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, and for He came, the Savior came. He will save us by His grace. It says in there that by the time when our troubles will be over, and we shall see Him face to face. That's what Moses said on his occasion over there in the book of Deuteronomy that I read to you earlier, where he said, "I shall see Him, but not now. I shall behold Him, but not nigh. For a star, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and the scepter shall rise out of Israel." But as we go into chapter 2 of the book of Matthew, at the beginning of verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Now, is any surprise there that he was born in Bethlehem? That's what Matthew is writing here in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem," no surprise there, was it? Because we understood that from Micah's writings that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. So, It's only the prophecy coming true. I can tell you another thing about this too. I mentioned this. I don't know. I preached on a different subject recently, and they didn't have it when Karen and I were in our childbearing years. But they didn't have this gender reveal. But now I see all kind of creative stuff. And my girl showed me one on a video of a man in my school district. He and his wife both work for our school system, and their son is, and his wife are expecting, his daughter-in-law teaches in our school as well, but they're expecting their first child and first grandchild. And I don't know exactly what it was, but he shot them in the air that I think it's pink confetti or whatever came out of it. And you could see that some of the videos showed the grandparents to be, and I don't have to tell you, they were exuberant. There was a great sense of happiness in their life. And I don't even begin to understand this morning yet about grandchildren, how precious that must be. And I can imagine, and I've told you before, I've asked a question. I've asked several people, and I always got the exact same answer before. I said, tell me how it is that your children can do almost nothing right, and your grandchildren can do almost nothing wrong. And I can tell you, I got the same answer every single time. Said, we can't explain it. You'll have to experience it for yourself. That's the same answer I get time and time again. But I can tell you this, if there had been a gender reveal by Joseph and Mary, it wouldn't have been a surprise to anybody that blue confetti was, or blue smoke or whatever was coming from that, dear friends, because Isaiah had already told us 600 or 700 years back down the road that a son would be given to us. Are you thankful today that son's been given to us? Oh, my. What would you trade for that this morning? Said, there came wise men from the east. And obviously we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. Let me continue reading. Saying, where is he that was born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I already told you that. Moses already told us about this too. He said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. So there shall be a star to come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Here's that star, oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He was the king. He was troubled because this man, this baby was born king of the Jews. He was born king of the Jews. He'd come out of the lineage of Judah, as we mentioned earlier this morning. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then we get to Judah. That's one of his sons. And he told him, said, the scepter shall not depart from Israel, nor a lawgiver. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between its feet till Shiloh come. For unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. He's going to gather his people together, dear friends, one day. That's why he came to the earth to come, because he had to come. That would be a sacrifice made, that our sins would be purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's perfect, as John said one time, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We remember in Scripture, maybe we'll get to it in just a minute. Let's continue on for just a few moments. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That's what Micah had already prophesied. That's where that scripture came from. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again, and that I may come and worship him also. Friends, Herod didn't want to worship him also. Herod was jealous that this one had come to the end of the earth that was born king of the Jews. And he considered his intent was to do harm. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, when they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, you know, I mentioned this time and again, you know, I like you sometimes have gone through these live nativity scenes. I appreciate the effort that goes into that. We have a church up home just west of Brookhaven, and I've been connected with some of the members of those congregations, and they spend a lot of time and effort goes into to these things. And time and again, I'll see at these live nativity scenes, I'll see sometimes a real baby, sometimes a doll in a little wooden crib, a nice constructed crib that some craftsman sometimes in the church in Maid. And friends, that wasn't where they laid the Son of God. They put him in a stone feed trough. He was in a manger there in Bethlehem. But also, invariably, they're going to have the... You've heard me say this before. This is kind of one of my pet peeves a little bit. That invariably, these nativity scenes, they're going to have these three wise men that were there and all their regalia. You know, their very ornamental clothing and appearance, their crowns and so forth. But I'm telling you here, they didn't come to the manger. They weren't there when Jesus Christ was in that manger.